Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 19 to 20. This day I called the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May God add blessings to the reading of his word.
My all in all.
Sabbath. Such a pleasure for me to be with you here today at the Capitol Memorial Church. You know, thank you, Elder Paul, for the lovely introduction. I will say that one of my favorite things in this new role is to go to churches and actually be joining you in worship and sharing with you a message that for me, I'm passionate about. And so I'm sorry it took so long for us to be able, but I'm so glad that I'm able to be with you today. I have come here sometimes before for worship over the years. And I have a dear friend here, Sylvia, who is from Brazil as well, who I haven't seen in many, many years, actually. Was glad to see her and some of you as well, meet you and spend the day with you as we share this morning. And I brought some things for you. This is a newsletter that we have for our members throughout the division. And at the end, when you walk out, you'll be able to get one. You know, yesterday was World No Tobacco Day. And so every month we kind of feature some of the important dates that we have every month. And so, you know, all of you could subscribe to this. In fact, we have this in several languages, in Portuguese, Spanish, French, Russian, and English. And you could share this with your neighbors, with your friends. It's free. You can download it online and, you know, get resources as well as some of the things happening around the division or your area in terms of health. And I know that the Capitol Memorial Church is passionate about health, and I've seen that you've had over the years having many events here in terms of health outreach, and I'm thrilled about that. So I encourage you, if you haven't yet signed up to get the newsletter, go to our website. This is our website, nadhealthministries.org, and you can find many resources there. Subscribe to the newsletter, you get it via email. And you'll be able to also join us on Facebook or Twitter and see some of the things that are happening, get some health tips and other health information for you. So today we'll be sharing with you a little bit about what's happening and the vision that we have for health ministries around the division, and take some messages from Scripture and also from the inspired writings. Because it took so long for us to be here, I hope you don't mind if I spend some time studying with you and opening the Word of God and going back to some of inspired writings that we have. I'm not sure if you'll be able to get here, but we have lunch here, I heard. So bear with me this morning, because I want to make the most out of our time. Is that okay? All right. Well, the message today is about choosing full life. You know, just a couple years ago when I was asked to be in this role, I was really opening the Bible and trying to search for what is it, Lord, that would be the vision that you have for us. You know, health, and I know many of you here are passionate about health, you must have to agree with me that health can be a very controversial issue. Do you agree? There are some people that say, oh no, again, a health Sabbath. They're going to be talking about all the things that I cannot do, the things that I cannot eat, right? And so as I was looking at the Bible and opening to ask God for some guidance on how can we present this message in a very positive way, because as a matter of fact, it is a message of grace for us. It's good news. And so I came across this text that is in Deuteronomy that was beautifully read this morning for our young lady. I don't know, forget her name now. Rachel, and that is the kind of like the text that has been the basis for us understanding that it's all about choosing life. It's all about our choices, and we'll talk about a little bit that today. The truth that makes men free is for the most part the truth that men or women prefers not to hear. Isn't that the truth? This was written by Herbert Agar. He's a Pulitzer writer, a Pulitzer Prize winning author. And he said, the truth that oftentimes is what is going to set us free is the very truth that we rather not even hear about. Don't talk to me about this. But that can be something that can really set you free. And so today, as we discuss a little bit more about health, and I know you've heard about this just a month ago, you had a wonderful event here, and you do a lot of outreach, but I hope that you can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning as we open His Word. Before we do that, shall we bow our heads once again and ask His presence in a special way at this time? Father, we are about to open your word and to listen to your voice again. We praise you for the ability to be alive today, to be here in this beautiful Sabbath. We can hear, we can talk, we can network and fellowship with each other, and we praise you for this gift. Now, as we open your word, may the words of your spirit be spoken this morning. Use my lips to only say what you have me say. May your name be honored. And may we discern what is the message you have for each of us individually today. Bless us is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's open our Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. And for those of you, if you rather follow us here through the scripture that's listed here, you can do that as well. It's Deuteronomy 30, 19 first. And it says again, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. But what I want to focus more is what follows. It says, I have set before you life and death, blessing or cursing. Now I'm God, and he was talking to his people here, the people of Israel. And he said, I'm God, and this is what I have set before you. But it's not up to me. It's up to you. I cannot force you to choose life. But he said, choose life. That's what I encourage you to do. So that if you do that, not only you, but your children, your descendants may live. Isn't that amazing? That God gives us a choice. He never forces us, even though he knows what's best for us. God is the God that respects each of us. And so it's all about choices, for life or for death. You probably won't be able to read this, but this is a little picture of God speaking to us today, not just like he spoke to Israel years ago. And he said, listen, I am the way. I know what's best for you. And we're listening. If you were able to read the text, you know, you see he says in Proverbs, make level paths for your feet, and we're listening. And he says in John 14:6, I am the way, and we're listening. But then we turn around and say, I know, Lord, but I have a better plan here. And so in Ecclesiastes 7:29 says that God made mankind upright, but what happened? But men have gone in search of many schemes. And this is true about us. This is just who we are. And unfortunately, this is the history that we see of the entire world. Ever since God was there in Eden and he made men and women beautifully in that beautiful garden, he gave them choices. And he said, okay, here is the tree of life. Again, set before you life. Now, here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So this is the tree of death. If you actually eat this, you're not going to live. Now, God did not hide the tree of knowledge, good and evil, in the back of the garden, a very dark place. No, if you read the Great Controversy, you're going to see the description that both trees were right in the center of the garden. The tree of life and the tree of death. They had a choice, and God couldn't force them. And we know the story. Right then and there, they chose death and not life, right? And if you look at the history of, from the Old Testament all the way through today, you will see the same thing happen again. After the fall, they went their ways. And God, every time, starting there when they fell first time, he started giving people a message of hope and restoration. So when they chose death the first time, he said, that's okay. I'm going to send my son. He's going to bring life. So in Genesis 3:15, you know the promise already of a way out of restoration. And then we know the story again. If you keep reading and, following the Old Testament, you see that God, gave them a way out. And some of them chose to keep that promise. Some of them chose to go the way of death. And then during Noah's time, God said, it's enough. I need to destroy this world. But there were a few who had chosen life. And he said, if you go into the ark, you're going to be restored. And I'm going to be then giving you a new hope. The great majority did not choose life, didn't go into the ark, right? they rather do what they wanted to do. And so we know the story. Came the flood, you know, that remnant was there, and they started again to populate the earth. You would think that maybe now they would choose life. But what happened? Again, a few of them, sons of Noah, chose death instead of life. And we see again that group choosing life, that group choosing death, and the results that came from it. God then called Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, right? And he gave them promises and said, if you choose the way of life, you know, the Redeemer will come through you and you'll find restoration. So every period of time, God was giving his people a message of restoration and hope, a gift of grace, what we call a present truth, right? That for that time had a meaning, very special meaning. And the whole idea of this is always, even though people choose death, to give them a way out for restoration. And he's always trying to call us to do the same. So this morning I wanted to share with you three reasons of why God gave us the health message, or the message of health, or why this is important. I want to suggest to you that the message of health is, just like throughout the history, a message of restoration, a gift of grace. And the very first reason why Jesus, God himself, thinks that this is important for us is because Jesus came so that you and I could have an abundant life. Not just any life. An abundant life. Now, we could live life and say, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Are you living a full, abundant life? Well, I don't know about that. I work so hard. I'm not so well, you know, I've been depressed lately. I've been so anxious. I'm so worried over my children, my work. And so what kind of life are we experiencing? Are we experiencing an abundant life like God intended for us to experience? Well, Jesus said in John 10:10, and you've heard this, I came that you may have life, but not just any life, an abundant life. That means abundant physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, financially, spiritually. Every area of your life. He's not just caring about your health. And we're so good in health ministries to talk about our physical health. That's important. But we have to remember, is we're not just physical beings. We're mental, emotional, social, relational beings, and spiritual beings. So a true abundant life, true health ministry covers all areas of our life. Not just the physical. This word sozo, which is in the New Testament, you might have seen this, is a Greek word that means the reason why Jesus was here, what he did in his ministry. And this word is over 300 times in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. You see its meaning is to heal and to save. So Jesus came to heal us from our infirmities, our diseases, yes, our physical, mental, emotional issues. But not just that. He also came to save us from ourselves, from our own bad choices for death. And so this word sozo is seen in many texts in the Bible. Here, David was projecting what Jesus was going to do, that he is the one who pardons all of our sins and he heals all of our diseases. And in everything Jesus was doing when he was here, he was not just healing physically, he was saving and doing both. And that word describes both things. Now, yes, it is true. Physically, especially, we are now, you know, science is giving evidence that if we follow the path and those beautiful counsels that God has given us for life, we will live longer, or at least have a better probability of living longer. And you've seen this in 2005, all to today, we have several books, you know, out that talk about Adventists living longer on average about 10 years, if they follow, you know, depending on the lifestyle they follow, increasing the probabilities of living longer. That doesn't mean that just because you do everything right, that you're not going to get any disease, right? We are reducing the chances that decreasing the risk, but the risk is still there. We are in the sinful world. However, it is true that if we do follow that physically, we'll see the results. And now one of the sub-studies of the Adventist Health Study that actually looked at this results is looking at emotional, behavioral issues as well for Adventists who are participating. looking at depression, looking at some of these other mental health, emotional health, social issues, family issues. And we'll be able to have lots of more information coming out about how much difference does it make if you follow God's ways in terms of all these principles that we've learned of health. And so, you know, Christ's mission truly was to do this for us, to give us a message of hope, restoration, and abundant life. And I love this quote here. I don't know if you can see well. It's from Ministry of Healing, one of my favorite books. And it does say there that the burden of disease he came to remove, right? That it was his mission to bring man to complete restoration. That complete restoration meant give them health, give them peace, and then give them also perfection of character. It's not something that we produce. It's something that he is able to work and give to us and through us. Now, abundant life, yes, that's one reason. Second reason why he gave us this gift of grace, the health message, to glorify him. It's not just so that we could say, well, Adventists are so good. You know, they live 10 years longer. Oh, there must be a special people. They're God's special people. We are so special, aren't we? And it's very easy for us to think about how special we are that we miss the whole point of why this is there. The second reason is about him, not about us. So in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 is whatever you do it for what? Whatever you drink, whatever you eat, you do it to glorify him, not to glorify yourself. And Jesus did that himself. He showed us the example. I love this text in Isaiah where he again describes his mission. And he says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them what? Beauty for ashes, to give them oil of joy in exchange for their mourning, the garment of praise. For what reason? So that he may be glorified. So all these things that he did, it was to bring God the glory. And so it is with us. Again, you know, if you go to Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you see the text in Corinthians 10, 31, where it talks about the fact that our bodies are not our own, that, you know, the choices we make are really about glorifying God in our body. And that, as I said, what you eat, you drink, everything is to the glory of God. So it's really an important thing for us to think. It's not just about health. It's about how we're representing God, how much glory we're bringing about who he is as our creator and as our caretaker, as the one who knows what's best for us. And I love this quote from the Inspired Writings again. And says, life is not something that you just have by chance or something that you are able to produce based on your own, merits. But it's a holy trust that God alone can enable us to keep and to use. For what? For his glory. So when you have more days and months added to your years, as a good Adventist who is following the principles of health, it says here, they are added to your existence that you may improve our opportunities and advantages for working out individual salvation and by your unselfish life doing what? Promoting the well-being of others. So if you experience a better, full, abundant life today in health, it's so that you can be a more of a blessing for others and promote the well-being of others. Thus we build up the kingdom of God and make manifest the glory of God. It's by truly using this life, these days and years, to bless others. However, what happens if our choices are for death? It says here, the misuse of our physical powers shortens the period of time in which our lives can be used for the glory of God. So when our choices increase our risk for heart disease, for stroke, for depression, or whatever it may be, we are actually increasing our risk, therefore shortening the period of time in which our lives could be used to glorify God. And he says, it unfits us to accomplish the work which God has intended us or given us to do. When we form wrong habits, now we often talk about diet, right? Oh yes, you should eat this, you shouldn't eat that. But she says here, by keeping late hours, What time are we going to bed? Oh, but we were in a committee, church committee meeting. Oh, we're doing prayer this or that. Or we were just, you know, so busy doing God's work. But we're keeping late hours by gratifying appetite at the expense of health. By doing this, we lay the foundation for feebleness. By doing what? Neglecting physical exercise. Oh, but I don't have time for that. I'm eating fine. You know, my diet, I am a vegan. But exercise, I don't know about that. I just don't have time for it. It says here, by neglecting physical exercise, by overworking the mind and the body, when it's hard for us to find that balance, we're working for the church, for school, for, you know, our own jobs, and we barely have time to rest or for the family. What we do, when we do this, we imbalance our nervous system. And then what happens as a result? The opportunity of blessing others. The very work which God has called us to do is cut short. And then what happens? We end up being guilty of depriving the world of the good that we could offer the world if we had better, full, abundant life and more energy to do the things that God would have us do, which is bless the world. Isn't that amazing? So it's about abundant life. It's about glorifying God. And God that has this mission, the mission to see us experience all this. However, we know that everything didn't end with Jesus and his ministry. And in fact, after he came and he showed for us, he exemplified in his life what it is not only to live an abundant life, but to minister to others this abundant life. 1844 came a different period of the time of this world. And in that time, a special people were called for a special reason. A special present truth was shared. Especially because, just like what God, Jesus had a mission, the enemy also had a mission. And the health reform vision in 1863, which we just celebrated this past couple of weeks, you know, the anniversary of 150 years of the official establishment of the church, that same year that vision was given about health and health reform. And that it was part of the third angel's message, the present truth to be shared with the world. Why? Partly because just like Jesus had a mission to have us experience an abundant life, the enemy, God's enemy, also has a vision. And that is that you and I do not experience an abundant life. That in fact, we're not able to do the things that God would have us do. That we would suffer from depression, from anxiety, from stressors, from heart disease, and all these other things that would keep us from being able to minister to others. And so at that time, we then learned about what he had in mind. And through the inspiration that God gave to Ellen White, we could see this in her writings. Here it says, Satan is constantly on the alert to bring the race under his control. So what does he use? Appetite. Now, oftentimes we link appetite to diet, which is very true, right? The very first thing. But do we only have appetite for diet? What are some of the other appetites that we have out there? You know, people have appetite for watching movies, appetite for gambling, appetite for many other things out there. Anything that can be used in an intemperate way can be harmful, even good things, right? So she says that through intemperance, which is the bad use of even good things, or the use of bad things, Satan works to destroy your and my mental powers. And our moral powers, so that it would be impossible for us to appreciate the things of eternal worth. That is his plan. He uses diet, yes, but he also uses many other things that we can use in a very intemperate way, in a way that's actually going to become damaging to you, to your mind. You know, you can be intemperance with the music that you listen to. Depending on the music you listen to, you become so hooked to that kind of music that's not healthy. Your moral powers, your mental powers are affected. To what you see, to what you read, to what you listen to, all of these things have an impact. And in actually an impact in your spiritual life. This other quote here says, through the injustice of this perverted appetite, which could be for many things, many place themselves in such a condition of health that there is constant warring against the soul's highest interests. The truth that truth, which men oftentimes prefer not to hear, though presented in clear lines, Jesus could himself come here and preach the truth to us. What does it say here? It would not be accepted because of our mental and moral powers being impaired, because of the choices that we make on a daily basis. So this other quote here says, a few understand, particularly, of course, in terms of our appetite related to diet, it's a very key thing because it starts there. Since we're young, that's the very first appetite that we have. Our health is impacted by our diet, our usefulness in the world, and our eternal destiny are all impacted for the choices that we make in terms, particularly in this case here, she's talking about the diet. And it's important for us to realize that there is this spiritual link, and it's not just about your life, it impacts others as well. So anything that you do, that you choose, that I choose, that lessens my or your physical strength will have an impact in our mind. It says it enfeebles the mind, makes it less capable of discerning between right and wrong. And we become less capable of choosing the good, even though we already, you know, can discern good and bad. Even choosing the good is harder. And we have less strength of will to do that which we know to be right. So one thing is, we may not accept what's right, what's true. The second thing is, even when we do accept it, we don't have the strength of will to do it, because the choices have really impaired our physical strength and have made us unable to do that. So this is such an important time for the days that we are living. And that message came through the inspired writings right in 1863 when the church was officially formed. And the third and last final reason where God again brought this in such a strong way during the remnant movement is because it's not just about abundant life. It's not just about glorifying God and understanding how this fits into our spiritual life in connection, but it's about fulfilling the mission that we have for the day that we have today. Luke 9:2, you know, Jesus, before he left, he sent his disciples to follow on his steps. He said, you should also go and preach, but just not preach, preach and heal. The same way in that word sozo, he was about saving and healing, he wants us to do the same. And that's why this message of health should be so connected with what we do. He sent them to do that, and he sent us to follow in his message, his mission, and his method. What was his method? It was about connecting with people. And I love this quote. Many of you might know this quote by heart. It's been very much quoted recently as the church is preparing for a whole new focus on health ministries and comprehensive health ministries. I'm sure you might be reading more and more about this in the months to come. This beautiful quote in Ministry of Healing is now coming more than ever to light. Christ's ministry alone, Christ's method alone will give true success for us as we follow through the fulfilling the mission piece that we are to do this time. What did he do? First, he made friends. He mingled with people. How are we doing about mingling? Do our neighbors here consider us friendly people that we mingle with them? Oh, but they are not. They have a different life than we do. How are we mingling with those? Jesus did that as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy to them. He ministered to their needs. And then he won their confidence. Not because he wanted to hook them into something else and say, oh, you come, I'm interested in you because I wanted to be baptized into my church. He wanted to minister for their needs because they had needs and he cared for them. And of course, ultimately, he wanted them to say, okay, do you love me? You feel I care for you? I can show you even more. And he said, come and follow me. Only after he actually showed he loved and cared for them. Now, if you look back yourself to your own life and your own family, how did you ever come to the Adventist church or to this church? Or how are you coming here and every Sabbath, you know, embrace the message that God has given you? What was the method? And we don't have time to listen to all your methods. I can tell you my own story. You know, my grandfather, who was a minister in Brazil, he came because someone cared enough to stop by his little, he was an adolescent, and by where he worked and dropped some pamphlets and invited him to, you know, go to a school because he was already pretty old and he didn't really, never went to school. He learned to read on his own and didn't have the opportunity. He was not an Adventist. He said, there's this Christian Adventist school all the way in São Paulo you can come to. And this person kind of carried him and actually took him over there. That's how that message came to our family. Don't know how it happens to you, but I can tell you that there was a research done here in North America not long ago, and they looked at all the methods that people come or have come to the church. And the very number one thing was, well, my father was an Adventist, my mom was an Adventist, so therefore I am one. Okay, family, you were born into a family, that's one. But the second reason most prevalent for people coming to the church is a friend or a relative. Somebody cared for them, made friends with them, followed Jesus' method, and showed that they cared. And that person was the reason why. It shows here almost 60% of the people. That comes before any public evangelistic meetings, comes before a visit by the pastor, comes before television or radio programs, anything else. Number one, relationships. And this is so important because that is still the case. It was in Jesus' time, it is in our time. However, many times the church is acting like this. Here we are, so comfortable in this beautiful church. Oh, so beautiful. Out there, outside the walls, the people are drowning. They're lost. They're drugs. They're family, they're broken. There are all kinds of problems, and they don't have a way to go. But we're here, we say, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have that spiritual gift. Somebody will go and jump in, because we're so comfortable here. And we need to actually follow Christ's method and jump out there. Be able to do what we can do without expecting that others will do it. And it's easier than we think. It's all about relationships. This beautiful inspired quote, again from Minister of Healing, said, it is through the social relations that Christianity comes in contact with the world. Social relations sanctified by the Spirit of Christ must be improved. We can't just sit in our own church. We need to come out and connect with our communities, with the leaders in the community, with the needs of the community. If we just stay here and invite them to come, why would they come? We need to be able to go, right, and make friends. And so this is in the Ministry of Healing. It is part of the medical missionary work. This is what medical missionary work actually is. There are some people that think medical missionary work is about just doing, you know, cooking classes in your church. That's part of it, but it's not all. Right? It's about actually going out there. It says here, God calls not only for your benevolence, but your cheerful countenance. We have to be happy people, cheerful. Your hopeful words. We need to be able to share words of hope to those who are drowning there. The grasp of your hand. Even if you don't teach them, but you grasp their hand in care and love, that is medical missionary work. It says here, there are souls who have lost their courage. Speak to them. Pray for them. Bring them to Jesus. This is the kind of medical missionary work that must be done. It's a definition that is very simple. That if you actually think of it, it's just making friends and showing God's care. Soon there will be no other work done. You know, our liberties are going to be taken away from us. And it's said here that soon there will be no other work done in ministerial lines. You may not have a pastor paid to be here in this church. But you will have the ability to be medical missionaries. Be these people who go out and who serve your communities. And that's how Jesus' love will be shared. It says that we must educate people on the things that are important. And do it in a pleasant way, in an intelligent way. And it says we must preach the truth, pray the truth, live the truth ourselves, and do it in a gracious, health-giving manner so that it will bring influence to reach the world who know it not. And then as the sick is brought into the touch with who? The life giver. He's the one who can give them life. Not our, you know, beautiful courses on health, but he can, their faculties of mind and body will be renewed. And so the gospel really illustrated is this combination of the medical missionary work done in relationships, connecting with people, and then preaching the truth, doing both things. There is no separation. There are people that say, oh yes, we're going to have an evangelistic series. That's what will bring the people in. That's when the truth will be preached. And then we'll do a 15-minute health thing before. Or we'll do a health expo just before. And that way people will come and then they will stay for the more important thing. It's not about that. It's about blending the health outreach with everything that we do. It's who we are. It's not just a hook or something that we do. More and more you're going to be hearing about this, about medical missionary work. And there's a new phrase that's being used now. It's comprehensive health ministries. Comprehensive health ministries. How many have you heard about that word? Okay, you might have seen in The Visitor. There was something, there will be another article coming this month. Yeah, another one from the review in July. And more and more you're going to be hearing about comprehensive health ministries. It's simply a new term. Kind of describing medical missionary work. It's more comprehensive. It says that it's not just health. It's going to be all the ministries of the church. Children's, women's, family, everybody, our pastors, ministerial, our health systems, everybody connected to do medical missionary work in a very strong sense. The GC will be launching this fall, and then in NAD, we're going to be launching it at the Health Summit in January. And churches are going to be invited to really take health ministries a much stronger way, more comprehensive way, and simply following, again, Christ's method. What is comprehensive health ministries? In simply put, if you put all these things that we're sharing together, it's meeting people's need in a practical way by showing God's love and compassion. So, yes, it's about teaching our health message, but it's doing that just simply by meeting people's needs. And doing that in love and in compassion. The need of the world today is not just a whole bunch of lectures on health or cooking classes or, you know, health screenings. Those are all important. And we are called to do that. But the need, the great need that they have is truly a revelation of Christ. And that is what they need. They need to feel God revealed in us through the love, the friendship that we have. It says here that a great work of reform is demanded. It's only through the grace of Christ that we'll be able to do that, to review him. So what are the needs out there? What are the opportunities for us to fulfill the mission at this time? Yeah, how many of you here are health professionals or work in the health area? Anyone? Okay, a few of you. You know, if you look at this, the data and the information, the reports out there around the world, we see that actually people are living longer than decades ago. Over the last many decades, you know, we have seen people just increase in their longevity in general. About 11 years is the average, and this is a whole bunch of countries here. You cannot read this, but this is from Japan, Switzerland, all the way down to South Africa. You can see that their years gained over the last 40, 50 years. And it reflects a decline in mortality for all ages. Just yesterday, I was reading a report from Hopkins that said that women in the 1900s lived 47 years on average. Now we're living 81 years on average. So it's a huge increase on the years to live and the decline in mortality. Now, even though people are living longer, that doesn't mean they're living healthier. So we see chronic disease on the rise. And this other slide here just shows that all these countries here have seen an increase in chronic disease. And one of them, in this case, shows obesity. And as you know, the United States is the worst from all these other countries leading out on the obesity epidemic. And part of the reason why we are launching, and this afternoon we'll be talking about this, about obesity and about what the church is doing, and how we're meeting this big need, is because of this drastic need that we have, not us here, but around the world. And so there are things we should do. With obesity comes diabetes and many other chronic diseases. So three big risk factors that we as a church could help answer are here: smoking, alcohol consumption, and obesity are the three common risk factors that affect most chronic diseases around the world. We could be doing something to help meet this need this is what we are to do, meet the needs. And so this is a big need. Now, it's not just us. If we don't do that, other faith communities are going to be doing it. Some of you might have heard Rick Warren's church and what they're doing on health. They have put out this huge program on obesity. They're losing, apparently he was baptizing people one day, and he just said, you know, these people in this church are fat. He had baptized over 300 people in a row. He was tired, and he said, I am fat. We need to lose weight. So he launched the Daniel Plan. Hello, the Daniel Plan. Guess what? Healthy diet and exercise. He cut out a lot of things, less meat, less animal products, more fruits, vegetables. And this program is around the world. They lost together a whole bunch of pounds, like millions of pounds. It's known nationally. And here we're thinking, what is the Adventist Church doing? Are we living what we should be living and doing teaching what we should be teaching? If we don't do, others will. And so many times the faith communities around us are doing a better job than our own churches are doing in outreach. And we need to be able to learn from them. Well, what an irony. Don't be afraid of partnering and learning from others. They actually want to learn from us if we only open our doors and allow the relationship. And we do have some things to learn. Unfortunately, again, you know, while they're doing that, some of us are like here. You know, how you know your church will be first in heaven? For the dead in Christ will rise first. Many of us, actually, if we continue living the way we're living, we're not going to see that 10-year advantage in longevity. We're dying, but also we're looking dead in the church because we're not doing much. So we need to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to wake us up to do the work that we need to do. We are to cooperate with God, and He knows no failure. But we need to be willing to do what He wants us to do and follow on His ministry. Here in North America, we have chosen a big vision. From NAD, the vision is to reach North America with hope and with wholeness. Wholeness means physical, mental, emotional, what we were talking about, spiritual. And then in North America Health Ministries, our vision is to choose full life. People need to choose first. Once you and I choose a full life, then we can tell the world what it means and the benefit that it has in our own lives. And every church, is our vision, should be a center in the community for health, for healing, and for wholeness. Imagine if your community, your neighbors here, will feel welcome to come in and say, oh yeah, I love that Adventist church. You know, I go there, they teach this, they teach that. They're friendly. They just love us. They care for us. And then we become known as a center for health and healing in the community. We have developed 10 choices that actually we can share with the community and with the world. One has to do with alcohol. One has to do with tobacco. You know, yesterday was World No Tobacco Day. We as a church should be saying something and, you know, connecting with the community, partnering with others to talk about against tobacco, saying no. Same thing with alcohol. We have developed a ministry called Adventist Recovery Ministries. If you haven't heard, this is something you could have in your church, a small group, inviting community and others who want to break away from any addictions, any harmful habits. And it's kind of a 12-step program, Christ-centered, where they can then learn to break away from some of these nasty habits. And it's just about any habit, not just alcohol and tobacco, but any harmful habit. We also talk about diet, more plant foods, more of a balanced diet, more exercise in the sunlight daily, you know, breathing fresh air and drinking water. But we don't stop at the physical. We also think about rest and stress, dealing with stress, taking vacations, resting one day a week on Sabbath, resting every night adequately, not going long hours as we talked about earlier. It's also about what we listen, the music we listen to. You know, so choose wisely what to listen, what to see, what to read. This impacts as well our health. It's also about relationships, how much time we spend with husband and wife, children, grandparents, in a family. Oh, but we're so busy in doing church work. But you have to spend time with your family as well. Healthy relationships. You know, there's a lot of abuse going on in homes, abuse of children, of elderly, domestic violence. We need to be able to speak about these things and make our churches a welcoming place for people who are dealing with this in their own families. Choose also to engage in unselfish service. Do you know, one of the things that can help young people reduce their at-risk behaviors is volunteering, being involved in pathfinders, being involved in mission trips, having a role model in the church that they can look up to. And service is number one in terms of helping young people be healthy. And we need to talk about that in health ministries. Then mental health. It's about helping people to choose to focus on what is true, what's worthy of praise, cultivating forgiveness, gratitude. These things are linked to health. The research shows. And so it's not just about what you eat. It's how well you forgive. How well do you thank God for even the bad things that happen in your life? What is your mental outlook? And finally, is choosing to spend time with God alone in prayer and Bible study. You know, the foundation of everything is relationship to Christ himself, the life giver. And so connecting people to their own creator actually is what helps them to live longer as well and protects them from any unhealthy behavior. So if you come this afternoon or if you stay for this afternoon, I brought a little... It's like a series of the 10 choices that you can have as a bookmark. And then also there's a calendar in the back where you can track your physical activity, and I'll share with you later this afternoon. And this is for 2013. So as we close, I just wanted to share some of the things that you could be part of as we fulfill the mission. You know, there's a big effort in the church now of doing urban evangelism. You might have heard of NY13. It's happening this month already in New York. The whole world church is coming to New York to find a way to do ministry in that big city, bringing health and comprehensive health ministries as a big way. And we had our health summit there in March of this year. Dr. Natalie actually shared messages of mental health and emotional health in the evening. If you want to access those, there is a website that we created. It's called choosefullife.org. And this website has the lectures that were given there. And this website actually has all the health programs. Anybody that's having health programs, like if your church wants to advertise your health program in this website, you can. It's free. And people can go by state and look at all the health programs happening in the cities. And you can put your own health program there too, so others in the community can find out. This website is for the community. It has messages and programs that are for outreach. And we're trying to share this message that we know. All these choices for a full life. You know, knowledge, benevolence, eloquence, and all this beautiful message that we know we can share. But all of this, including zeal, are important. But without the love of God in the heart, none of this will reach the people. Right? We need to have that. So a word of caution as we engage in health, comprehensive health ministries and health outreach is this. And I will read it to you because it's something that we must be remembered about. While it's important that we have health and health ministries in everywhere, in the church, in the conference, we need to remember that health work has its place. While the health work has its place in promulgating the third angel's message, its advocates must not in any way strive to make it take the place of the message. There are many people that engage in health ministries that make it the message, as if that was the gospel. And this is one of the number one things that has been setting people aside. Some people don't want to get close, because that's not true. And that's not the way God would have us do. When those who advance health reform carry the matter to extremes, people are not to blame if they become disgusted. And I can tell there are many people in our church today that are disgusted with the message of health because some people are taking it to extremes. And it says, too often our religious faith is thus brought into disrepute. And in many cases, those who witness such exhibitions of inconsistency can never afterward be brought to think that there is anything good in reform. These extremists do more harm in a few months than they can do in a lifetime. They are engaged in a work which Satan loves to see go on. And this is a word for us, dear brothers and sisters. It's important for us to share this message, but avoid the extremes. Satan wants us to take extremes. Oh, you cannot eat this with that, or mix this with that, or, oh, that's the wrong thing. And, you know, people just don't want to, I don't want to hear it. We need to make the message a God-centered message in love and simple enough that people can understand the principles behind it and give them the choice, not judge them for what they're choosing. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. Because if we carry it to extremes and do this, this is not the work that God wants us to do. It's the work that we're doing against Him. We need to love people more than we love the health reform. Amen? And I love this quote. It says, we don't make the health reform an iron bedstead. Have you ever seen somebody that, are you eating this again? It's like a hitting somebody in the head with the health reform. Cutting people off or stretching them out to fit in. One person cannot be a standard for everybody else. What we want is a little sprinkling of good common sense. Don't be extremists. If you were, you would be better to err on the side of the people than on the side where you cannot reach them. So we need to be more flexible and allow people sometimes to take their time in embracing the message. Paul was very clear on this in Romans when he said that love and grace is more important than food. People come before food. If your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the ones for whom Christ died. The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. And he ends by saying, pursue the things which make for peace, and by which one may edify another. And I'm going to end with a story. There was the story is told by Dr. Harding, who is one of our associate directors at the General Conference Health Ministry Department. He was in a state doing a sermon, just like today I'm doing it here. And like now, we're going to go to a potluck. He also went to a potluck. And when we came to the potluck time, of course, he was the guest, so he was first in line. And the lady who was very much in charge of the potluck said, Dr. Harding, come, you know, come to the first, and you're first in line, and I want to tell you, psh, everybody quiet. Okay. So she was very much in charge. She said, before you pray, just know that this food has real cheese in it. These doesn't. And she went on and on. It's like, oh, okay. So they prayed. Of course, he was first in line. Everybody's looking at him. What is he going to eat? Is he going to eat the food with the real cheese in it? And he's not very crazy about food with cheese. But he said, you know, he just went ahead. It was macaroni and cheese. And he took some of that. Took some of this and that. And he ate. During the meal time, he noticed there was a lady kind of like in the back. She was crying. And she was waiting. And people started to leave. And she was there kind of like waiting. And she was waiting to talk to him. Because people left. He was one of the last people to leave. And as he was walking by, she came to him and said, oh, I was waiting to talk to you. He said, what's wrong? She said, you know, I want to tell you, I was baptized just a month ago. I've been coming to this church for 3 months. And ever since I got baptized, every Sabbath when we have our potluck, there's something wrong with what I'm cooking. Every Sabbath. And today, when she said my food had real cheese, I thought it was fine. There is no ham, no meat, there's nothing. It's just cheese. I said, I'm never coming back to this church. But when you went and you tried some of my macaroni and cheese, God spoke to me, maybe I shouldn't leave. How can I get better on this? And he sat down with her for a couple of hours, and he spent time explaining to her what we're talking about, what the true health message really is about. And to make a story short, he spoke with the pastor about this. Years have passed, and just recently he visited that church again. The lady who was in charge of the potluck, when the pastor talked to her that they needed to change things, she wasn't very happy, so she moved to another church. And now, decades later, the other lady who was baptized, she's now in charge of the potluck. And it's a much different kind of approach they have. They're still not compromising on the health, but there it's a church. We can be able to teach truth and embrace people, allowing them to, you know, have their own time and walk beside them. This is what God wants us to do. And I pray that as we finish today, as we share a great message to the world, to the community that we live in, that we'll most importantly share God's love with them, that we will make sure that His character is revealed through us as we touch each one, meet their needs, you know, have them feel welcome among us and loved, because this is truly what God would have us do. That was His ministry, His mission, and it's our mission today. And may God help us in that effort. Amen.
If the deacons can come forward for the offering, today's offering is going to the local church budget. If you so choose to give to the church budget, we ask that you put it in a tithe envelope and mark it as such. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the Sabbath day that we are able to be here together. Dear Lord, as the offering is being taken up, please bless those who have to give and bless those that do not have to give. Help this offering to be able to spread your gospel. Help it to be able to help it. Help us to be able to use it to minister to those around us, dear Lord. We want to be a church in action and not just sitting and zeezing as the picture showed during the sermon, dear Lord. Help us to be what you want us to be active. In your name I pray, amen.
Verses 1, 2, and 5. Verses 1, 2, and 5.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do
our heads, I just wanted to leave you with this text. Verse 20 of Deuteronomy 30 says, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, but that you may cling to Him, because He is your life and the length of your days. Shall we bow our heads? Father, we realize that life, full life, is only in you. And we want to obey, we want to cling ourselves to you, because we know that out of ourselves, we cannot do anything. But in you, we know that all things are possible. So help us, Father, find life in you daily. And help us to share this full life with those around us, showing them your love, teaching them a better way of living, so that we can experience full abundant life here today, but more importantly, forever, eternity with you. Amen.